Om sahana vavatu, sahanau bhunaktu, sahavidyan karavavahai, tejasvinavadhitamastu mavidvishavahai. Om shanti, shanti, shanti. Om. Good. Welcome back, and welcome to all of the students attending these classes online. We continue our study of Uddhava Gita today. Earlier, we saw Uddhava's questions, and the second of his questions was about how to worship, just in general, how to practice bhakti, devotional practices. And in response to that question, Sri Krishna gave a very elaborate response. By the way, that's a good way to tell something about the teacher. If the teacher gives you a two-word response, you know there's a problem. You know, why is the teacher being so terse? So when a teacher gives a very elaborate response, that's usually an indication that you asked a really good, important question. And of course, Uddhava's question was very important, how to practice bhakti. Now, why did Sri Krishna give so many different individual practices in which you can practice, in which bhakti can be practiced? We had, a couple of dozen, perhaps. We didn't count. Many, many practices. The reason for that, of course, is that these practices are meant to be done all the time, not just on specific occasions. Some people have it in their mind that bhakti is what you do when you go to a temple and stand in front of an altar. But if that's the only time you think about Ishvara, there's a problem, right? It's like if the only time you think about your family is when your spouse is giving you dinner and you don't... And you don't think about your family at any other time. It's a sign of a problem. You get the idea. So, of course, there's the classic story that's told for all religions of the person who prays only when they're in real trouble. At no other time. Only when things are really disastrous, then and only then do they pray. Obviously, that's the counterexample of what Sri Krishna is teaching here. So having finished his very elaborate description of the various ways in which bhakti can be practiced, now he's shifting a little bit to talk about the various ways in which we can worship Sri Krishna himself. How to worship Sri Krishna in particular. Sri Krishna says, how to worship me. He uses the first person pronoun, mom. How to worship me. And that goes on. That's our next topic. So we can pick up where we left off. Good. Yad yadishtamam loke, yad yadishtatamam loke, yachati priyamatmanaha, yachati priyamatmanaha, tattanivedayen mahyam, taranantyaya kalpate. Tadanantaya kalpate. Start in the third line. Tat tat nivedayet. Those things are to be worshipped and are to be offered. Nivedayet. Those things are to be offered, and we'll talk about what those are in the following verses. Those things are to be worshipped. Mahyam. Unto me. And something that's We forget. We overlook. Why? Why worship God? Why worship Ishvara? Why worship Krishna? Tad anantaya kalpate. Because kalpate, it will make you prepared anantaya for limitlessness, for moksha, for gaining liberation, for gaining enlightenment. And just to state the obvious, prayer and worship is for whose sake? Let's be very clear about it. Ishvara needs your prayer and worship, like one of your insecure co-workers who needs a lot of encouragement to go on with their work. No. You know, Ishvara doesn't need a pat on the back. Good job. I think the sun comes up on a bright, warm, sunny day. Good job. How ridiculous is that? Anyway, the point is very clear. Ishvara doesn't need your prayers. Prayer and any form of worship is clearly for our sakes. Going back to our other topic, if prayer is for our sake, should you only worship once a week when you go to the temple? Should you only pray when you're in big trouble? You get the point. If it's for our own sakes, then it should be a regular part of our lives. So, what should be offered unto Sri Krishna? He says in the first line, yad yad ishtatamam loke loke, among all the things in the world, what should be offered is yat yat ishtatamam, whatever is most valuable, whatever is most desirable. And he makes that point very clear in the second line, yatcha atipriyam atmanaha, yatcha, that which is atmanaha, for yourself, that which is atipriyam, most beloved, most dear. You should offer something which is valuable, something which is most dear. And we forget that in ancient times, the primary form of worship was yajna, homa, or havan, and the primary dravya, substance offered, was ghee. And we forget that in ancient times, ghee was quite valuable, costly. You know, it took a lot of milk, a lot of cows, a lot of effort to produce that ghee. So if you think of, you know, now you go to the market and you buy a bottle of ghee for a couple of dollars, it wasn't like that in ancient times. But here we're not talking about offering ghee. Sri Krishna is talking about offering that which is most valuable to you. Suppose I ask you, what is most valuable to you? Some of you will answer, my children. You're going to offer your children into a ritual fire? So here, offering isn't in that physical sense of like offering the ghee into the fire. It's in a metaphoric sense. In what metaphoric sense do you offer your children or whatever it is most valuable to you? In what metaphoric sense does that offering take place? It's an offering. The main point of any offering is whatever you offer is no longer yours, right? So the ghee you offer into a fire gets consumed. But suppose you bring some naivedyam, food, which is going to be offered during puja, worship. You bring that, some food, maybe some sweets, and you bring them, you sit them at the foot of the deities on the altar. Notice, it's still there, right? Even after the priest will offer that food to whatever deity is on the altar, what signifies that that food has been offered? It's no longer yours. You have relinquished ownership. You see where this is going? my children, my profession, my house, my car, my investments. It goes on and on and on and on. Ownership. So when Sri Krishna says to offer that which is most valuable to you, he means to give up ownership. And you give up ownership by recognizing that whatever you have is given by Ishvara. We use the term karma phala data, the giver of the fruits of your deeds. By the way, the deeds are both the deeds you do in this life, not just in prior lives. So when you work hard at your profession and you get a big bonus or pay raise or whatever it is, advancement, that's also a gift, is it not? Because Ishvara is the karma phala data. You got that raise or promotion according to the laws of nature. Whose laws of nature? That's it. We need to understand whatever we accomplish in life, we do so with Ishvara's blessings. If you got the promotion, how did you get that promotion? You say, oh, I made a lot of good decisions and the project went very well. Well, you made good decisions. How did you manage to do that? It could be a bad joke. How did you manage, of all people? Anyway, that's not the point here. But the point is that knowledge is a gift. The ability to think clearly is a gift. You know, not everyone enjoys that blessing. So if you were blessed with a good, clear mind, capable of good decision-making, and that and you got a raise as a result or promotion, why not acknowledge the source because of which you got that raise? Everything comes from Ishvara. And that's where we renounce ownership. You renounce ownership by recognizing that whatever you have in life is accomplished only with Ishvara's blessings. Ultimately, it's Ishvara responsible for what you have and what you've accomplished. Therefore, ownership, rightly speaking, should belong to Ishvara and not to you. There's an interesting way of seeing that with children. My children, of course, that's not an uncommon perspective to have. Obviously, the children are also given by Ishvara. I'm smiling, and just in Sanskrit, there's a, not a joke, but interesting observation. In this country, if you have an anonymous person, might be called John Doe or Jane Doe. That's kind of, maybe in legal documents, we'll sometimes use expressions like that to express someone or another. In Sanskrit, in the term used, obviously, is not John Doe, it's Devadatta. Devadatta is the John Doe of Sanskrit. And that's an interesting statement. Anyway, the John Doe of Sanskrit, Devadatta, which literally means one who is Datta, given by Deva, given by God. Devadatta. So, when, and even today, sometimes people will name their children with that in mind. When you, sometimes children are, I think a common boy's name is Prasad. Prasad means what? It's a gift. And a gift from Ishvara. Okay, enough said. So this is how Sri Krishna begins the section about how to worship me, Sri Krishna says, and that is, first, you give what is most valuable. Notice you don't throw crumpled paper into a homakund during a ritual sacrifice. You throw only a valuable, the offerings, and offerings which have been sanctified ahead of time. So you offer that which is most valuable. And secondly, the offering is not physical, but rather it is your renunciation of the sense of ownership. My children are a gift of God. My profession is a gift of God. House, family, whatever it is, it's all gift of God. My guru liked to put a little different spin on it. He said, I think specifically with regard to children, he said, your children are not yours, they're on loan, was his expression, meaning they're given to you to take care of and then return. So take care of from the time they're born, even before they're born. So while mother is pregnant, you take care of the children. Children are born, children grow, children are raised. And then when they are adults, you have to return them. They're on loan. You don't own them any longer. They have their own lives to live. So it's my guru said, your children are on loan, so to speak. Nice perspective. Okay, so having said that, now we'll see next verse more specifics on how to worship Sri Krishna, specifically in what form or forms should Sri Krishna be worshipped. He says, Suryognir Brahmano Gavo. Suryognir Brahmano Vaishnava Kamarujalam Vaishnava Kamarujalam Bhuratma Sarva Bhutani Bhuratma Sarva Bhutani Bhadra Puja Parani Me Bhadra Puja Parani Me. That last line. Bhadra, O Blessed One. Sri Krishna addresses here, Uddhava. Bhadra, O Blessed Uddhava. Puja Padani Me. He says, Me, for me. There are Puja Pada. Pada is often place. So puja, puja pada could be in different places in which you worship Sri Krishna, but places in a more of a figurative way, forms. And you see that in the beginning. He begins with surya, so sun. So the sun is a place, but the sun in a more significant way of understanding, the sun is a form of Sri Krishna. We can worship Ishvara in general, Sri Krishna in particular, in the form of the sun. We've discussed before that it is absolutely incorrect to say that Hindus worship, here look at this, Surya, Hindus worship the sun, Hindus worship Agni, fire, Hindus worship Brahmanas, Hindus worship cows. Hindus worship cows. And of course, during certain festivals, you can see the cows. They have a nice mala around the cow and nice kumkum, and you give the cow some bananas and nice things to eat. And it really looks like the cow is being worshipped, except that's not the Hindu worldview. Just like when we worship at an altar, who in their right mind worships a 4 foot tall carving of marble? No one. We stand at this altar and we worship Sri Krishna. We're not worshiping a statue. The statue is a means. We call it murti, sacred form. And it is a consecrated murti. It's been prepared for worship through certain rituals. The point is, is that the one who's really being worshipped at the altar is not the one standing on the altar. The God of the cosmos is being worshipped through the deity standing on the altar. Same is true. Hindus worship the sun. The sun is a giant ball of burning gas. Hindus worship a giant ball of burning gas? You get my point. Hindus worship God in the form of sun, God in the form of fire. When you offer that ghee into the fire, you actually, it's accompanied by a mantra. Om Indraya Swaha. This offering is unto Indra. Om Prajapataye Swaha. This offering is unto Prajapati. You're not worshiping the fire. You're worshiping Ishvara through that fire. So this is, I'm making a big deal of this because sometimes we're casual with our language and that causes problems. If you say Hindus worship sun, Hindus worship fire, Brahmanas and cows, you will give non-Hindus a completely wrong idea. They'll think that you worship a giant ball of burning gas. So please be careful with language. It's not a problem for you. It's a problem for others. Language is important. Hindus worship God in the form of sun, in the form of cows, rivers, trees, etc., etc. Language is important here. Okay, back to the verse. Here we're talking about worshiping specifically Sri Krishna in a variety of forms. Sri Krishna in a form, as we said, of Surya, the sun, in a form of Agnihi, fire, in a form of Brahmanaha, the pious priests, in a form of Gavaha, cows, in a form of Vaishnavaha, pious worshippers of Lord Vishnu, in a form of Kham, space, in a form of Marut, air, in the form of Jalam, water, in the form of Bhuhu, earth. By the way, Kham, space, air, fire, water, earth, they're all here, right? The five elements. Also, Hindus worship Ishvara in the form of Atma, your own true self. And Hindus worship God in the form of Sarva Bhutani, all creatures, all beings. Each one of those are, Sri Krishna calls, Puja Pada. Pada, locus. I know that's kind of a fancy word. Locus of worship. So we can say the deities on the altar is a locus of worship. The sun is a locus of worship. Fire, locus of worship. And he actually lists 11. He's in a mood to go on and be elaborate. Remember when we said, when we saw the types of bhakti, how many did he give? Before that, when he was talking about the qualities of those with whom you should have satsanga, he gave 30. Exactly, he gave a list of 30. Now we're getting a list of 11 different locus, means the form in which we worship Lord Krishna. And in the next 1, 2, 3 verses, he's going to describe very briefly each of those 11. So it makes sense, we'll just go on and see each of those 11. Oops. What am I doing here? That one. Okay. Okay. Yes. No, verse 43. Surye tu vidyaya traya. Surye tu vidyaya traya. Havishagnau yajetamam. Havishagnau yajetamam. Atityena tu vipragye. Atityena tu vipragye. Go shwanga yavasadina. Go shwanga sadina. Atitya is, we'll come to that in just a moment. I may have mispronounced. So we get the first four in Sri Krishna's list of forms in which we can worship Sri Krishna. We worship Ishvara in general, Sri Krishna in particular, Surya, in the sun. In the sun, too, in particular. We worship God in the sun. How? Vidyaya Traya. We worship God in the sun, Traya, with three, Vidyaya. And here, Vidya means mantra. Often it's used in that, in a ritualistic sense. Vidya means mantra. Like Sri Vidya is mantra to goddess, to the goddess. So three mantras. We worship God, we worship Sri Krishna in the form of the sun with three mantras. Why three mantras? You use certain mantras when you worship God in the morning. You use different mantras when you worship God in midday, and you worship God with different mantras in the evening. This is sandhya. Sandhya are the meeting points. So when day meets, when night meets day, sandhya, morning. When first part of the day meets the latter part of the day, midday, sandhya. And of course, when day meets night, sandhya. So during these three sandhyas, even today, some pious Hindus will do this Trikala Sandhya Vandanam, this worship of God in the form of sun at these three periods during the day. So that's his first observation. You can worship God in the form of sun. You can worship Sri Krishna. He says, me, in the form of sun. And you can do so three times a day. Also, Havisha Agnau. The second he gave was Agni. We can worship Sri Krishna in that sacrificial fire. And how? Havisha. Havis is the name for any oblation. Anything you offer into that fire is called havis. Often it means some kind of grains or rice. So through Havisha, by offering that sacrificial offering into that fire, yajeta, one worships mom, Sri Krishna says, through that sacrificial fire. Also in the third line, too, and further in particular, vipra. Vipra is a word for brahmanas, the third that Sri Krishna gives. And he adds an interesting adjective, vipra agriye. Even Sri Krishna understood that even though you're born as a brahmana in a priestly family, you might not have priestly characteristics. This is a common problem. Everyone who is born in a brahmana family is not necessarily an embodiment of the qualities that we assume that brahmana would have. So Sri Krishna makes it very clear, agreye, in the best of brahmanas, in the foremost brahmana. So in those best of brahmanas, priests, you worship them how? Atityena, with atitya, hospitality. I like this. There's some things in Sanskrit that are very interesting. It comes from the word titi, means a date. A titi is a common word for a guest. It means one who comes without an appointment. They just show up. A titi. And then how you treat that guest who just shows up. That shows the difference between typical American culture and typical Indian culture. In India, it's acceptable to just show up. But in this country, do you have an appointment? Little difference. Okay. Atitya means hospitality. So those pious brahmanas, you worship, and here again, when you're offering, just to be very clear, in that Sandhya Vandanam, the main offering is water. That water is being offered to whom? Sri Krishna. In the fire, that havas is being offered, not to the fire, to Sri Krishna. And the brahmana, the way you worship the brahmana is you feed the brahmana. That's why some of them look like this. They get lots of hospitality, arguably too much. Anyway, who is that food really being given to? Is Ishvara. And finally, Go Shu Anga. Anga is another vakta. He addresses, Sri Krishna addresses Uddhava. Anga, O dear one, Go Shu, for cows. How do we worship cows? Cows, how do we worship Sri Krishna in the form of a cow? By feeding the cow. And what do you feed the cow? Yavasam, etc. Yavasam is grass. Not yava is barley. Yavasam is grass. So you feed the cow grass. So taking care of, you might wonder, why are there so many of these goshalas? Pious organizations will create goshalas, places where cows are protected. Why only cows? Well, that's another topic, because all animals deserve being protected. But in this Hindu culture in particular, and even Sri Krishna says here, it's common to worship Ishvara in general, to worship Sri Krishna in particular. Through the cow, by feeding the cow, we worship Sri Krishna. By the way, that only works, all of these forms of worship only work if there is intention behind them. If you're looking at the sun and pouring water on the ground, that's not worship. If you are worshiping Sri Krishna in the form of the sun, is worship. If you're putting wood into a fire, that's not worship. If you are feeding someone who happens to be a brahmana, that's not worship. If you're a restaurant worker, that's not worship. You get my point. And just feeding cows or caring for cows, it's worship depending on our intent. Which is why formal rituals of worship begin with a sankalpa. Like our meditation begins with a sankalpa. So the purpose of a sankalpa before a ritual is to focus our attention on what we're doing. We're worshiping Ishvara. Okay, let's continue. So we've got four down, and how's your math? Four down, seven to go. 11 altogether. Next. Vaishnave bandhu satkritya, Vaishnave bandhu satkritya, Hridike dhyana nishtaya, Hridike dhyana nishtaya, Vayau mukhya dhyato ye, Vayau mukhya dhyato ye, Dravyaisthoya puraskritaihi, Dravyaisthoya puraskritaihi. Next is Vaishnava. So Vaishnave, we worship Sri Krishna in the form of Vaishnavas. Of course, is Sri Krishna not present in a Shaiva? Equally present. In fact, you'll see the list ends with equally present in all. So in Vaishnava is used in this context because the whole of the Bhagavata Purana is considered a Vaishnava Purana. So the focal point of the entire Purana from which this Uddhava Gita is taken, it's all about worship and understanding of Lord Vishnu. Therefore, Vaishnava, we worship Sri Krishna not only in the form of Vaishnavas. So yeah, if they have that tilak, fine. If they have this one, equally fine. So this Tridanda is for Lord Shiva, no problem. So, and worship how? Bandhu Satkrita Kritya. With Satkritya, with acts of kindness, which are bandhuvat, like you would offer to a relative. Treat them as relatives, as friends, as brothers and sisters, as fathers, the elderly. Elderly devotees are mothers and fathers, grandfathers and grandmothers. Those of our own age, those devotees, are brothers and sisters. Those who are younger than us are like sons and daughters. Very beautiful attitude. And to be honest, you see that attitude more amongst Vaishnavas than amongst Shaivas and other traditions. It's more of a cultural feature, just the way these devotional groups evolved in India. You'll see more of this sense of brotherhood amongst Vaishnavas. Another place where you'll see that sense of brotherhood and sisterhood is amongst sannyasis. You see that sense that we are all part of the same group and they take care of one another. It's very nice. Continues. What is the sixth? He says, come. Come is an unusual, it's used quite a bit. It means space. And here, K, in space. In what kind of space? Interesting. He's not talking about that space. Hridi K, this space. The space of the heart. And it's a reference to many Upanishads that used that particular language to describe the abode of Ishvara within you. Ishvara is said to abide, that so-called inner divinity, abides within in the Hridaya Akasha, in the so-called space of the heart. So how do you worship Ishvara in general, Sri Krishna in particular, here within you, in the space of the heart? Pretty obvious, isn't it? Dhyana nishtaya. Dhyana through meditation. Nishtaya through your commitment to regular meditation on Ishvara's presence within. Very simple, very beautiful to worship Ishvara's presence within. And many of you were born in Hindu families, and you may take this for granted, but imagine telling this to a Christian or a Muslim. You can worship God within you. Would that make any sense to a Christian, or much less so to a Muslim? These ideas are so foreign to most other religions. On the other hand, absolutely central to the Hindu tradition. The God's presence within you can be worshipped, which means you don't need an altar, you don't need a temple, you don't need to go anywhere. You can sit down, close your eyes, and meditate wherever you are. That in the temple within, the altar within, so to speak. Then, next is vayu. The word comes in the prior verse as marut, is a word for wind. Here he's talking about vayu, also means wind or air. Vayau, we worship Sri Krishna's presence in air. How? And he's very particular here, not talking about any kind of wind flopping around, but mukhya dhyā. He says, by recognizing its importance. And he's speaking specifically here about prana. By the way, that's why commentaries are very helpful. I might not have figured that out on my own, but the commentator makes it very clear. Mukhya dhyā. He says, talking about prana, drishta. So the from the perspective of prana, the not just breath, but whatever keeps you alive. What a perfect focal point for prayer and worship. Every time you inhale, in fact, earlier we talked about everything as a gift. The fact that you go on inhaling is a gift. The fact that your heart goes on beating, this is mystifying, that the heart can go on beating for such a long time. Just allow me to make a point. Take your right hand, squeeze it hard, open. Squeeze, open. Squeeze, open. Squeeze, open. Squeeze, open. Do that 24/7 for 75 years. That's what your heart does. It's mind-boggling. That's prana. That is worshipful. Ishvara's presence, Sri Krishna's presence within you in the form of prana, the prana that makes your heart go on beating. Mukhya dhiya. Next in the list was jalam, water. Here he uses the word toya, also means water. Toye, how to worship Sri Krishna in water. And here it's more common. A ritual in which you offer water is often called tarpana. Now, oftentimes this tarpana is associated in a very narrow way. Pitra tarpana. Many of you have done that kind of ritual. You make offerings of water for the ancestors, so to speak, departed souls. Well, here Sri Krishna is not talking about offering water for the departed souls. Mom, me. He's talking about worshiping Sri Krishna himself through offerings of water. Not just offerings, well, let's start, into water. For example, if there's often you see, especially in Ganga, I lived on the banks of the Ganga for a period of time, wonderful to see pilgrims making offerings. Sometimes they'd offer flowers into that. Sometimes there's a tradition many of you know. They make a boat out of leaves and put a diya, a burning lamp in there along with some flowers, and you send that boat going down the river. Very lovely, especially when you see a number of them going on. So this is a offering unto Sri Krishna in the form of that river, the waters. Some pilgrims will offer milk and other objects. That's what he is saying. Dravyaihi. Toya puras kratayihi, various offerings made into the water. But I think the most significant offering, in fact, it's an image which is burned into my mind, maybe burned into some of your minds, and that is when you see someone taking water in their hands standing in the river, taking water from the river, offering it back into the river. It's such a common scene, but the symbolism is so amazingly profound. And you know, look at this. What if you don't understand the symbolism, isn't it kind of silly? You take the water and you throw it right back in. What kind of offering is that? Well, it is a recognition that the only things we have to offer are things given by Ishvara. What else? What other choice do we have in the Hindi arati? Tera tujako arapana. Tera. Whatever is given by you, tujako, unto you, arapana, is this offering. Because kya lage mera? What do I have? Everything is yours, and so if you pluck a flower to offer at the altar, where did the flower come from? Ultimately, you say, no, Swamiji, I bought them at the market. Where did the money come from? I worked hard to get it. How did you manage to work hard and get it? So remember we said, if you got that raise, ultimately, everything and anything we possess, we can trace it back to Ishvara, so we can then relinquish our false sense of ownership. Everything comes from Ishvara. So that's the beautiful symbolism of offer, of stamp, of reaching down, picking up that water, offering that water back. The only thing we can offer to Ishvara is what is given by Ishvara. We have no choice because everything belongs to Ishvara. I love that symbolism. Okay, there's just one more verse. We can conclude this topic. Let's see that. Standale mantra hridayar, standale mantra hridayar, bhogar hatmanam atmani, bhogar hatmanam atmani, kshetrajnam sarva bhuteshu, kshetrajnam sarva bhuteshu, samatvena yajetamam, samat. So in the opening verse, he talked about bhuhu, earth. Here, standala, another word for earth. Standale, how to worship Sri Krishna in the form of earth. He says, mantra hridayaihi, with the heart of mantras. Very obscure expression. The commentator says, mantra nishtaya. Mantra nishta, establishing mantras. You can establish a mantra anywhere. So there's a process not mantra nishta. I'm mixing up my words here. There's a process of establishing deities at various... Nyasa is the word I'm looking for. You do nyasa, you invoke Ishvara's presence in various parts of your body, and we can invoke Ishvara's presence on the earth. You've seen these beautiful mandalas that ladies draw on the ground. How wonderful that is. That is a kind of nyasa, a mantra nyasa. There is a mantra associated with that mandala. Whoever draws it may or may not know the mantra, but every mandala is associated with the mantra. So when you draw those mandalas on the ground, you are worshiping Sri Krishna. So this mantra nyasa, as the commentator says. Now, we'll finish this up. The 10th in his list was Atma, oneself. And Atma, as we saw in Bhagavad Gita, has many meanings in different contexts, including even the body. So Atma means oneself in general. And here, Sri Krishna says, you worship Sri Krishna. Second line, end. Atmani, in oneself. How do you worship Ishvara in oneself? Bhogaihi atmanam. By yourself offering bhoga, here means food. By offering food to Sri Krishna, who is present in your own body, and Vaishwanara, as that fire of digestion, Sri Krishna is present here, as the inner divinity. And you may have seen in some temple function or some pious ceremony where you'll see someone offering food unto Sri Krishna within in a very formal way. So you put the thali in front of them. You've seen people do this. There's a prayer of purification as water is sprinkled around the food. And then you might see. They'll take a few grains of rice, eat those few grains of rice. Pranaya swaha. Few more grains of rice. Apanaya swaha. Five times, which is exactly what we do at the altar. Five pranas, pancha pranas. So whatever food is brought to the altar with five mantras offered to Ishvara, here with five offerings. These are offerings unto Ishvara's presence within you. So again, beautiful symbolism. And now the last of the 11 is to, and the term he used was sarva bhutani, to worship Sri Krishna in the form of all beings. And this is arguably the most important of these 11, and you'll see why in just a moment. So to worship Ishvara in the form of all beings, how? Kshetrajnam, as the consciousness that abides, sarva-bhuteshu, in all beings, as that sentiency, consciousness, in all living beings. Well, that's exactly what we use, that loose term, inner divinity. Sri Krishna abides within all as Kshetrajna. Sri Krishna is quoting himself from the Bhagavad Gita, from Mahabharata. Okay, so off recognizing, worshipping Sri Krishna's presence in all beings, samatvena, with the attitude of sameness. In this way, yajeta mam, one worships me. Samatvena, with the attitude of sameness. That sentiency or consciousness or inner divinity is equally present within all, regardless of ethnicity, Arab, Jew, black, etc. If only. You know, just look at how Gaza is being torn apart. And it's largely a cultural issue. It's Arab versus Jew. And I'm not saying one is right and the other is wrong. It's cats and dogs. But Arabs are equally an embodiment of Sri Krishna as Jews are equally an embodiment of Sri Krishna. Sadly, that's not understood. Same for in religious variations. Ishvara is equally present in the Christian, of course. The Christian may not use the same language that you would use. That's fine. So let the Christian, we'll call God Jesus, call our Father who art in heaven. It is the same deity, the same God, the same Ishvara. Or how about in some more applicable terms and relevant to our day-to-day lives? Are Democrats more divine than Republicans? Or is it vice versa? Come on, conservative, liberal. We live in such a divisive time. Fine, people have their own opinions. And sometimes their opinions you might judge as being pretty obnoxious. The opinions are obnoxious, not the person. Can't we manage to separate person and opinion? We're adults. We can manage that. So someone may have political perspectives that are disgusting to you, abhorrent to you. Fine. You don't have to agree with their politics. You do have to treat them with kindness and care and love because they are an embodiment of Krishna like anyone else. Come on, we're mature enough to make that separation. People can have all kinds of opinions. People are not defined by their opinions. We are all manifestations of that same divinity. And that's what he says here. So, samatvena yajeta mam, worship equally. One more example, and this is another topical thing. Some people are having a real hard time recognizing the innate divinity of those who are gay or transgendered. What is the big deal? I don't get it. Now, you may not understand their gender or sexuality or whatever. You don't have to understand. They're human beings. That's all we need to know. Human beings like anyone else, therefore, equally deserving of love and respect. Sri Krishna says very simply, samatvena, with this attitude of sameness, yajeta mam, can worship me. Which, just to leave you with a final note, if you are liberal in your political leanings, do something nice for someone who has opposite political leanings from you. Sri Krishna says, yajeta mam. That's how you worship. You don't worship Sri Krishna by being nice to people you already like. You worship Sri Krishna by pushing yourself to be more accepting and understanding of those that you're not so inclined to like or accept. Yajeta mam. That is how you worship Sri Krishna. Okay, this is a very good place to end. We'll continue next week. Some announcements. Today at 4 p.m., we have our support group. Samashraya is the name of the support group. It's a support group for caregivers of those who are undergoing some form of mental illness. So if you are a caregiver of someone undergoing mental illness, that you may find that support group very helpful. Meets here at 4 p.m. Tomorrow at 10 o'clock in the morning, we have our weekly Vedanta class, Shankara's Brilliant Upadesha Sahasri, and it's followed at 11 a.m. by Satsang. So come with your questions at 11. And before we conclude today, I want to share with you some sad news. One of our longtime students, Prabir Majumdar, has passed away this past week. He was a longtime student here. He was also a musician, and he performed here at least on one occasion. He was a lovely man, elderly, and sadly passed away. In the presence of his family, he was cared for very well, but we will all miss him. And it would be nice. Perhaps you can hold those, especially those of you who knew him. I think he used to sit over in this area someplace. Those of you who knew him, and even if you didn't, maybe hold him in your mind and heart as we recite our prayers during Arati. Okay. Om Gananahan Tva Ganapatigam Avamahe Kavingavhinam Upamashravastamam Jeshtarajam Brahmanam Brahmanaspatahana Shrinvan Utibhisidasadhanam Om Mahaganapataye Namaha Ishvaro Gurur Hatmeti Murti Bhairavi Bhagine Vyomavad Vyapta Dehaya Dakshina Murtaye Namaha Vasudeva Sutam Devam Kamsachanuramardhanam Devaki Paramhanandam Krishnam Vande Jagat Guru Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha Sarve Santu Niramayaha Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu Ma Kashchid Dukha Bhag Bhavet Asato Ma Satkamaya Tamaso ma jyotirgamaya mrityor ma amritangamaya Om shanti 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 Om Tat Sat.